Strap yourself in
because we're set up, switched on, and ready to go.
Yes, sir, reading you loud and clear. The clock has started.
Five, 5, 4, 4, 3, 3, 2, 2, 1.
Tuned in to this week's episode of our podcast. Today, we are going to interview some of the greatest and most influential minds in our field. By sharing our collective expertise, we will show you how to harness, control, and use your own skill set to achieve ultimate success and live the life you want. And now, please welcome your host.
So, hello, everybody. I'm here in Colorado Springs with Dennis and Nate, and I'll have them introduce themselves. And we're gonna kind of delve into the small business world and whatever technology that they will share their knowledge about. So Dennis, maybe start with you. Could you introduce yourself?
Sure, I'm Dennis Cater. I'm the the Rocky Mountain AFCEA chapter small business vice president. We just concluded the Rocky Mountain Cyber Symposium about an hour or two ago. So pardon some of the noise in the background. They're still cleaning up and recovering from the event. It was a great event. I believe we had about 3,300 registrants, over 150 vendors. It was a very well-attended conference, and it was a good conference. We haven't had this now. Last year was, because of COVID, we had a virtual conference. So this is the first time we've had it back in Colorado Springs since 2020. So it was real exciting to have everybody back and in person. It was a great, real great event. As my side job and during my day job, I'm also the business development director for Quantum Research International, small government contractor here in Colorado Springs.
Do you want to cut and do that over again? That
nope.
Second.
Oh, okay. You think this is his first time ever doing this? So. Normally, he's the
talkative one.
No, have you ever seen the Talladega Nights?
Yeah.
When he first gets in and wins his first race, this is Dennis in front of a camera. I don't know what to do with my hands. Okay.
I'm playing with a thing down here.
No, we don't want to cut. We just keep going. That's the way this thing works.
Okay.
People love our stupidity.
You have to watch me dance on
our last podcast. Yes, totally
we'll
show that. Download that for the plane ride home.
Yeah, I don't know if it's politically correct, but he's the perfect version of
You're good, ma'am.
White man dance. So anyway, I'm Just Nate. So Nate Moser, but the online personality is Just Nate. So I also work with Dennis on our day job, the one that pays us. I'm a professional tech scout for the U.S. Space Force and our company. We also run a software factory there, so multiple different things, including cybersecurity, built in, baked into our software development. And I, as well, help Dennis on the Smalls, our nonprofit organization. So,
yeah, we didn't talk about that. So we started an organization about, 5 years ago now, almost five years ago. It'll be 5 years.
October 2017.
Yeah. Felt that there was a need to kind of get the government contracting ecosystem together. Everybody was doing events, all the different organizations in town. There wasn't really a way to get out information on what's happening across the community, across the government contracting ecosystem. So we started an organization, just had a couple bit small business development people get together, and then it kept on kind of growing. And today we're over 650 members. We have networking events, or we used to have more meetings, but now they're kind of networking events because everybody seems to want to do that. In Denver, Colorado Springs, Pueblo. We're also teamed with New Space New Mexico down in Albuquerque. And we're talking about doing some more things in Colorado, several cities like Grand Junction and Durango, as well as doing some activities out in Salt Lake City. We also just supported the Colorado Procurement Technical Assistance Centers, which is a small business administration office to help people that want to start developing a company And first you go there, they get you all set up, get your SAM into SAMS and get you registered as a company. And then we believe you kind of come to us where we help you plug into the network. And so we work a bit with them across the state and states. We've supported the Native American PTACs up in Montana and the Northern Rocky Mountain region, and as well as other organizations. So what we call the government contracting ecosystem is really primes, small government contractors, professional organizations, service providers. So if you need IT support or lawyers or health benefits or something like that, you can come to us. We'll plug you into that, or banks. And then manufacturing. So if you're a small government contractor, you don't really have a lot of resources, but if you want to build a product, then you need manufacturing support. So that's kind of the last leg of our ecosystem, if you will.
And do you specialize in helping small companies in a certain kind of sector?
It's mostly DOD.
Okay.
But we just say government contracting because it doesn't have to be DOD. Mm-hmm. We don't do too much on the commercial side. Mm-hmm. We do partner with the small business, SBDC, Small Business Development Center. Mm-hmm. They are located across Colorado. We have worked with them, co-hosted events, and support their activities as well.
We do have all types of people come to our events, though. We got construction workers. We've got healthcare workers,
right?
Because it's networking events. So,
it's all part of the ecosystem.
It's all part of the ecosystem, right? Right. If I win a large contract, for example, for the Air Force, building weapon systems on the ground, for example, more than likely, it's going to entail part of civil construction. So I need construction workers. I need all of that as part of, if I'm a big company, small company.
Well, the Army Corps of Engineers, particularly in Colorado, I can't remember the number, it's billions, right, in construction projects alone.
Yeah.
And we're part of the Omaha District, which is really all the Rocky Mountain states and out into the
Nebraska, Kansas,
prairie, Wyoming, Midwest.
Right, wow.
So there's a lot of construction. We have the U.S. Forest Service. Most people don't realize Colorado is actually the second largest concentration of government agencies outside of Washington, D.C.
Oh, actually, I didn't know that.
So they're all here in Colorado. It's kind of the backup, I think, to Washington, D.C. So if you're going to do anything with a government agency, you can do it here too. So, I mean, NGA's here, Department of Interior, Department of Energy, the National Renewable Energy Labs up in Golden, where they do a lot of new types of energy. The Bureau of Land Reclamation was going to move to Grand Junction. I'm not sure. I think they did.
Yep.
I'm not 100% sure where that is, but they were going to move out here too. So, again, Treasury, whatever it is you want to do out here.
Right. And the rise of the U.S. Space Force, obviously.
Yes.
It's been huge.
That must take some of your attention.
Yeah, so as most people know, the Space Force is primarily based here in Colorado. I mean, they are in other locations, California and Florida and other places, but there's a big hub here as well. So yes, so Space Force has been a big contributing factor. We also partner with the Space Force Association. They're here in Colorado, or based out of Colorado, Colorado Springs. So we do talk to them and help them promote their events. Again, one of the things we're trying to do is, you know, as everybody's doing these activities and doing these things, is to share the information. Because what we found is, you know, the right hand's not always talking to the left hand, or people aren't aware of what's happening with, you know, say they're like organizations like ISSA and AFSEA. Maybe they're both hosting cyber-related events, but they're not really communicating what's going on.
Yeah.
And so we're providing that hub where people can come to our website. We put out a weekly newsletter that lists all the activities of interest, we call them, across the Front Range, and then we also have the calendar. But I also put on their national events. So, you know, we just had AFSEA West out in California. That was on there. And then since there's been so many virtual events, people can attend from anywhere anyways. But, we try to promote all that.
Yeah, and so Dennis had mentioned we do events up in Aurora, Denver area, Springs, and then Pueblo as well right now. The reason why we do that is because it's very stovepiped in what each community kind of does. So Denver, Boulder, Aurora area, that's really aerospace centric. I don't mean to generalize, but that's really what the business force is up there. Springs is more DOD centric, and then Pueblo is really the manufacturing side of things. So amongst all three of those communities, we could be the powerhouse out of everybody. We could do everything here in Colorado for the most part. The only thing we can't do is coastal launches. There is talk of vertical takeoff.
At the spaceport.
At the spaceport. So
yeah, but it's about 10 miles from the airport. So there's some things they got to work out. But yes, That's the one thing. And the motto of the spaceport here in Colorado is the first mile is free. So, because we're a mile off, right?
Yeah,
so.
That's funny. And any lessons learned since you've established this smalls organization, kind of, you know, being in the trenches on this kind of wide scale industry
and
sector support?
Engagement and all that, yeah. You know,
I've got one.
Well, communication's a huge one. I know what you're going to say. Communication's huge, and really getting plugged into all the different organizations, right? Because it's kind of a two-way street. We're always asking for input, don't always get it, so we're always looking for input too. But just really engaging with all the other organizations. But I know what Nate's going to say, so go ahead and say it.
Never turn down a conversation.
That's actually a good lesson.
That's the name of our new book that we're writing.
We're writing a book, and it's going to be titled Never Turn Down a Conversation. We've opened more doors just by having conversations.
And the door might not be for us.
The door might be, you came to us and said, hey, I've just won this $100 million contract. I really need a cybersecurity company that can help us do X, Y, Z. Okay, so we've got people that we know and we trust. We can then put them in touch with you. So at the end of the day, it doesn't matter whether we get business out of it or it's a feel-good factor, right? We helped you guys out, and we made some good contacts.
So. One of the other things we did when we first stood this up, and I'm still engaging with, is I looked at other models. So are there other organizations doing similar things? Down in Huntsville, Alabama is HazBat. I can't remember the exact Huntsville, Alabama business. There's the IRA and the Hanscom groups out in the Northeast. NDIA is huge in a lot of areas. NDIA is more geared towards the larger companies, while we're our focus, the primary customers, the smaller companies. But we want to, engage all of them. So again, the primes, the smalls. And then in the Pacific Northwest, you got the Pacific Northwest Defense Contractors, PNDC. They're actually a really good organization that we've kind of modeled a lot after. California, again, you have NDIA and FCS. So there are models out there that we looked at. Oh, and PACA, excuse me, down in New Mexico, and now New Space New Mexico, that are all trying to do things. So, talking to those organizations and collaborating with them too, trying to figure out events is good.
It's okay.
So that's one of the lessons learned, is really go look, see what other people are doing out there and be active in the community, engage. I think that's a big piece. We've been really plugged into New Space New Mexico and in Albuquerque.
I guess that's the big thing. Plug in, because you don't know what that next thing is going to be. And then multiple communities, I think, right? Be willing to go out and talk to people. Be willing to go out and come to the events like this. I've had more conversations in the past day and a half than I probably would get in 3 months' time normally, just by coming to one event.
Yeah, I've worked with several companies. They're like, why do you need to go to these events? What's the value added? And I'm like, well, it's really about networking. There is just some information, right? You find out kind of, DISA was here and in Air Force, ACC, A6 was here. And they talk about things coming up and all that. But one, you can engage with those folks to kind of see where they're at. You can gauge what's coming up. But the biggest benefit to me is getting out, talking to the vendor companies, seeing what technologies they're bringing, what ideas they're looking at, and then, if they're going after certain things. And then the networking events. So this conference did a good job of, after each major keynote, they had time to network, and then the lunches. And then in the evenings, they had a networking event. And that's kind of standard practice, I think. But the networking events are really important to get out and talk. And again, we've had so many opportunities, Nate and I, where, we had a Smalls networking event. And then 2 weeks later or a month later, somebody calls up and says, hey, Dennis, we met at the Smalls networking event. I know you guys talked about, you guys had a software factory. We're looking for somebody to do that. Tell me what you guys can do. And from there, we start getting into contracts.
Right, and the government is, especially the Department of Defense, is making a big push to bring in innovation. But how is those opportunities faring for small businesses? I know there's the cyber contracts. What kind of vehicles are you seeing out there? And are small businesses, how are they faring, in this kind of climate,
OTAs, I think, are kind of, we're seeing a lot of stuff come out on OTAs. A lot of small businesses are winning those OTAs, mm-hmm. but not all the OTAs are fully funded. Mm-hmm. So the funding hopefully is going to come later. Mm-hmm. I think Dennis won us over $500 million with OTAs in the past 12 months, but probably only
not
100
funded,
of it,
yeah.
it was
a lot
funded.
Not funded. Mm-hmm. Yeah. For very small businesses, startups, or somebody with some tech, SBIRs are the way to go.
Okay.
That's yep. been...
Right. Or STTRs.
STTIRs, STTRs,
tell us the difference between SBIR and STTRs.
Small Business Innovation and Research, yep. SBIRs, and then...
I don't know
technology
the
transfer.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
It's,
okay.
It's right. small. It's technology transfer.
You have the big difference is that it's the same type of thing. You have to have a tech, right? But you have to work with an educational institution.
Oh, so, interesting. Okay. Yeah. To get that
you have to work with academics for STTRs.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep. Sometimes SBIRs too. Sometimes they ask you to do that as well, depending on the criteria. But again, SBIRs is three phases. So you go through phase one, which is kind of concept mm-hmm. development. Phase two is develop the prototype. And then phase three is scale it up a little bit. And then hopefully you sell that to the government customer. It's seed money, that's what mm-hmm. I call it. So it's not huge amounts of money. Say it's a couple hundred thousand dollars to get the concept out there.
For phase
maybe
one.
An initial, mm-hmm. very initial prototype. Yeah, phase two, usually millions of dollars. And then phase three, you know, it can be a lot more than that. So, I mean, again, for me, I look at that as that's seed money to get your tech moving mm-hmm. in the right direction. And there, each service and really organizations within each service have SBIRs. So you can look for broad area announcements mm-hmm. if you're looking for where are these things. Each service puts out broad area announcements, usually on BetaSam or GovWin.
It's no longer BetaSam.
It's just Sam. Over.
It's just
yeah.
Sam.gov.
Yeah. Sam.gov.
Very yeah. confusing after yeah. 2 years.
So you look for those things to find them, or get with your PTACs. Again, the mm-hmm. PTACs are out
Huge.
There to help you. And then there's several organizations that we work with.
Spell out PTAC for us.
Oh, Procurement Technical Assistance Center.
And those
again,
are in each
They're in every state,
state okay.
and pretty much almost every city, but especially if you're around DOD kind mm-hmm. of states where there's bases, they're pretty
PTACs,
prevalent.
Okay.
Yeah. And they are a great resource. If you're starting out as a small government contractor or you want to start out, or you have some initial tech, they can point you the direction kind of need to go for getting into that whole.
Also, they also have what's called, I'm going to get this messed up, and I sit on the board of directors, MyBid.
Yeah, MyBid.
So they've got a product called MyBid. So once you become a free member of PTAC, mm-hmm. as they're helping you start your company, we already mentioned Sam.gov, where you can go to find all the future contracts.
Yep.
They actually have a setup where you tell them what you do as a company, what your NAICS codes are, what your capabilities are, and you'll get a daily email from their system called MyBid that will have all the contracts that are coming up that you should go after.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
So it's free. It's all free.
Yeah. And
free.
I guess that's another thing for small businesses. You know, there are so many resources out there. And that's why we started the small several years ago is you just don't, people don't know all the resources that are out there. So we wanted to be a place where people could go and kind of get started. Where do I go? And if you plug into us, we'll get you pointed in the right direction. Even on the commercial, you'd asked us earlier about, before the podcast, about the commercial side. You know, the small business development centers, we've worked with them in the past. And that's kind of the commercial side. So PTAC, government contracting side, SBDC, the commercial side.
Okay.
But you can leverage both resources.
Yeah.
And again, it's all free. And then you can get plugged into the accelerators. There's, you mm-hmm. know, in Colorado Springs here, we have Exponential Impact. We have the Catalyst Campus Accelerators. Mm-hmm. CyberWorks is here if you're doing some cyber things.
Right.
They do
mm-hmm.
cyber sprints all the
SpaceWorks
time.
SpaceWorks is also here.
SpaceWorks. Mm-hmm. So those are other organizations where you can take your tech and maybe apply it to the different areas that we're looking at. So contact the Smalls. It's www.thesmalls.org.
Very
as a starting
easy.
Point. We are kind of regionally focused, but again, we have a national outlook, so that's not an issue.
And how about academia? Are you pulling in, you know, research institutions or even, you know, PhD students, that type of thing? Are you seeing any
so
of that activity?
We have a lot of conversations with them.
Mm-hmm.
Academia is a little different, though, when it comes to, you know, in our daily jobs, we do a lot of hiring our heroes, apprenticeship programs, internships. We've talked to academia trying to see, hey, can we get something, a cohort started or something like that? Academia always seems to need to have funds brought full time and a lot of funds.
Right, okay.
But on the flip side, University of Colorado is one of the largest recipients mm-hmm. of DOD funding mm-hmm. grants.
Oh, wow.
They do a lot of work. We have a lot of organizations up in the Boulder area for atmospheric research, Base, Sun, all kinds of stuff. So that's all up in the Boulder area. And NIST is up there, mm-hmm. the National Institute of Standards and Technology. They're also in Boulder. And so CU does a lot. And I would argue that probably most of the universities around here do work. And as Nate mentioned, there's a lot of partnering that goes on. So if you're going to do an SBIR, STTIR, or STTR, yeah, you will engage with okay. the universities and have them work with you.
Right.
Yeah, so there is quite a bit of engagement, actually. And they co-hosted this year the AIAA. Don't ask me how to do that one because it's some French thing and I don't do French. But AIAA.
It's not an acronym. It's just...
It's a food. No, but AIAA hosts an annual tech summit every year. And they hosted it at CU this year.
Oh, nice.
The previous couple of years, they had it at CSU Denver South. So they brought in a lot of the students to talk about their projects, what they're doing in the campus, right. so that the industrial complex, so the, you know, we have Lockheed Martin in Colorado, Ball Aerospace, Boeing, Raytheon, they're all here. Mm-hmm. And so they could all go and meet with the students and hear what they're doing and maybe hire some people and bring them in. So right. again, there is some synergy here. Could it be better? I think so.
ISSA, yeah. I mean, they put a big cyber conference here in September, usually, mm-hmm. I believe.
Yes, ISSA has a big cyber meeting. And that's really focused on the technical, professional cyber
exactly.
side.
Okay.
Yeah, that's the other thing. You know, each of the organizations is a little different. FC is more about the government to industry engagement. Mm-hmm. ISSA is really focused on the technical professionals and certification yeah. support.
Kind of like IEEE, same type
right.
of thing.
Yeah, right? Sure, yeah.
You have ISC2 here in Colorado Springs, and they're really the test guys, right?
Right,
for,
yeah.
If you want to get any kind of cyber testing. So all these organizations are all here, just not always, you know, it's not an easy path if you're kind of coming right. into this mm-hmm. industry. And that's where we wanted help.
Yeah. Are you seeing a lot of veteran-owned small businesses?
Actually, no. Yeah. And if you go to some of the PTAC events, at least our PTAC here in Colorado, they are extremely engaged. Every single month we have what's called G2B, government to business outreaches. And when they'll bring all the small business offices from all the neighboring
installations.
And they'll tell everybody the problem is that they don't get a lot of the veteran owned, because usually when they leave the military or retire out of the military, typically, they don't start their own business. Typically, mm-hmm. most of them are going to go work for
a company.
So they're always looking for businesses yeah. because that's one of their requirements that they have to fill every single year is give so much money to those types of companies right. that are military owned.
Right. And I would say that, you know, all the socioeconomic groups, the women-owned, the 8A, the mm-hmm. veteran-owned, the hub zone,
the Native American.
That sector actually, to me, maybe because I've become more aware of them, they've actually seemed to have grown quite a bit. The Native
yeah.
American side.
Yeah, there were several here.
Yes.
Several booths here.
Yeah.
Who specialize in cyber or other advanced technologies.
And yeah. or they're moving into that space, mm-hmm. right? So that yeah. that has grown a lot. I would argue probably the least represented. I don't know. I used to be women-owned, but I would say that that's not true anymore. I would almost say that the veteran-owned is probably the least.
And actually, you know what I've seen weird in a good way, is veteran-owned is coffee shops.
Huh.
A lot of veterans are opening
breweries.
Seriously, okay. coffee shops and breweries.
Almost every brew pub in town here is owned by a veteran.
Kidding.
Now, Colorado Springs is a weird dynamic, right? We have five bases here.
Yeah.
and up the road if you had six, right?
So,
and then, you know, there's so many bases near here. So there's a lot of opportunities for folks. But yes, Nate is correct. A lot of the coffee shops. And the breweries are, I would say, predominantly veteran-owned.
Yeah.
And you mentioned accelerators. Tell us about the venture capital picture. Kind of what do you see? I don't know if you have events that kind of draw in investors and how is it for small businesses to try to attract funds?
Now, we don't really deal too much in that
right.
space. Now, I know that there are venture capitalists.
Sure.
Angel investors.
There are several big ones here.
Yep. And you listed them before. Yeah.
Yes. And I do know that the accelerators are... focus on that. There are a lot of tech accelerators, as Nate mentioned, you know, the aerospace industry. So a lot of Boom Aerospace, which is developing hypersonic jets. They're up in Denver and they're winning some big contracts. UAL, United Launch Alliance, which is Lockheed Martin and Boeing. They're building rockets and, you know, going up to putting a lot of satellites up right now. And so those organizations and the supporting organizations are all up there. So ULA, for instance, I think they have like 2,500 vendors or something like that, local. Yeah. And so all those things are up there, and that's driving a lot of innovation. And so there's a lot of accelerators up there.
Okay,
and
sure.
They're different, though, than kind of DoD.
Yeah. So one of our goals is to try to open up the communications amongst communities as well. Because if you spend any time here in Colorado, as I said, you see aerospace, DoD, and manufacturing. For some reason, they don't talk on a regular basis. Like, I would think that I would want to, if I owned a company in any one of those fields, I'd be wanting to reach out, hey, I need somebody to build me this. Instead of me sending it off to
China
to have it built, literally, you can be less than 100 miles away down in Pueblo, and they can pretty much handle anything and everything right there.
Yeah.
And then that way you wouldn't have to worry about relying on shipping. You know, the past few years, one of the biggest issues we've had, shipping.
Supply chain. Mm-hmm.
You could literally get in a truck and run and go get your parts if you needed to, right?
Or your truck would drive itself.
Well, we're getting there.
Yeah.
Someday.
Coors Brewery is also here
in
Colorado.
Golden, right?
They have also, I think a lot of their, not a lot, several of their trucks have been operating autonomously now for years.
Oh, I didn't know that.
They actually deliver up and down I-25 corridor, no drivers.
But, you know, you mentioned for funding for some of these, something else I would also always recommend is once again, go to networking events. You have to get out there. You have to talk. OEdit.
Right. Hustle.
You know, out of the capital, OEdit, the
Office of Economic Development
and International Trade has tons of free money out there. Mm. You just have to be willing to get on their schedule to, and then put in for those grants and that free money.
Yeah. Matter of fact, that's due in March.
Yes.
All
the
grant
next
paperwork.
One. Yeah. So it's coming up very soon.
Yeah. And what other types of events do you guys have with your organization?
Well, so we do the monthly networking events. We were, prior to COVID, going to have an annual event with all the small business offices.
We've been
talking about doing that again. It seems like, based on this conference, things are kind of lightening up.
Right.
Yeah, getting back.
Yeah.
We were doing a quarterly event with Prime. So we were bringing in Northrop Grumman and Lockheed Martin in co-hosting with another organization here in Colorado Springs. And bringing the primes in, and so letting people talk to them, seeing what they are looking for, what they're doing here locally, and then what kind of opportunities they're having in the future, and what kind of procurement they're looking for too. So,
right, because sometimes the procurement, will it dictate that a prime has to have a small business partner?
Right, okay. And it could be you provide toilet paper or whatever it is, right? Whatever they need, they come talk about that too. So it's not always we're bringing like engineers or services necessarily, but they need like parts, they need that kind of stuff. Same with the Forest Service. Forest Service has several headquarters here. Huh. They need like buckets and trucks. And
I will say, so at every single PTAC event that we go to and we have the government representatives there, one of the biggest things they're always looking for is if you can sell your product via a credit card within X amount of dollars, say $2,500 at a shot, whatever, for your product, you need to reach out to their small business offices and get on their P card list of saying you're an approved vendor. That then if you sell markers, they can say, hey, I've got, there's like 20 people I can choose from. We bought from these 19 last time. This is one we just added. We're going to make our next, you know, $10,000 purchase from you guys.
Yeah.
So that's very key. So it's those little things that you don't really know about unless you start getting out and having those conversations.
I always told my kids, invent something that everybody uses.
Yeah.
Like toilet paper.
Sticky notes.
Right, that everybody uses. That's what you got to have.
Yeah. And what other things would you like small businesses to know about your organization?
We have a podcast.
Right.
That's correct. We do a small cast podcast. Go ahead, Nate.
Yeah, so tell us the name again.
So the name of our podcast is The Smallest Cast, Smallest Cast.
Smallest Cast.
We are on every single podcasting distribution app out there. But you can also just go to thesmallest.org, and you'll see everything's linked there. You can go to Apple, Google, Spotify, Amazon, Music, every single one you can think of we're on. Just search us up, Smallest Cast, and what we do there is we have conversations, just like we're doing now. We literally talk with people. I like stories. I like stories. Dennis is very more on the business side. I'm the joker.
But we talk about basically the ecosystem. We want to hear from across the community kind of what's happening, what people can offer. So it's really free advertising for companies, and we want to bring in companies and service providers. And, you know, so but say you're a bank and you want to, you know, your big focus is you want to work with these emerging businesses, and that's what you do. And so
but you don't know how to get into that space because... Right. COD is kind of its own space.
Yep, so you can come in and be a guest on our podcast and tell us what you can do for the government contracting ecosystem. So that's been a big boom, and it's been we started it right when COVID hit.
Not because of COVID,
fortuitously.
Right.
I
was just
it was kind of weird.
So, a real quick story. I got to tell the story.
All right.
It's my favorite story. Let's see. So, October 2017, Dennis started Smalls with another person. I joined
a little while later.
A few months later, early 2018. So we were doing events nonstop up and down the Front Range. And then come November time frame, we're like, we should make this a real thing, right? Instead of just doing this, we should actually go out there and actually do the paperwork with the IRS to make it a full nonprofit. So we are a 501c6 nonprofit organization. So that means that we can take in
donations,
fees,
some of that. Subscription.
So we get out there and we officially make it a full organization in November. About December, we start talking like, hey, what are we going to do next, right? What's our next step in the year 2019? What are we going to do in growth? And I said, well, you know, I'd like to possibly do a podcast. And Dennis being himself.
Remember you say like stories? Here we go.
Right.
Yeah. Well, I got to call people out. We're going to call them out, man. Dennis is like, well, nobody listens to podcasts. I'm like, really?
Yeah.
I've commuted for 20 years back from Pueblo to Colorado Springs. I listen to podcasts, and I'm not the only one. There's a lot of people out there. So he's like, whatever. I don't care. Just go figure it out.
No, so I like the idea.
He liked the idea after we started talking about it. But then we decided, well, let's go ahead and... How do we do this, right? We didn't want to be the ones that just used the phone. Nothing against that, but you know, we're both kind of audiophiles. We're like, we want better quality. So we actually started booking professional time at professional studios.
Oh,
we had studios in Colorado Springs and in Pueblo booked, ready to go. Our very first podcast was supposed to take place on March 16th, 2020.
Oh, my gosh.
With the Space Force.
With the Space Force.
The new Space Force Small Business Office.
And Space Force Association, Bill
That's
Wolf.
That's right.
We had it all booked about noon on Friday, March 13th. Friday the 13th, yes. That was
the day. Yep.
Everybody shut down. I get a phone call at noon from the... studio saying, I'm sorry, we can't have you on Monday for your podcast. Aww. You're shut down. I'm like, well, this is fun. So that weekend, right after that phone call, I started looking through Facebook Marketplace.
We're like, what are we going to do?
Craigslist. I'm like, no, I refuse to keep pushing it, right? I'm the type that just says, if you're going to do it, right? Start someplace.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It doesn't matter how good, how bad. Just get it started.
That's a good
because
philosophy.
There's a lot of that you have to learn too. We've never done a podcast.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, I'm technically savvy. He is definitely.
I'm laughing because I picture Nate now. He's gonna tell the rest of the story. I'm picturing him wearing black and a black beanie and black makeup on.
I picked up my very first recorder.
So he went in and robbed the store. No kidding. Yeah. I'm kidding.
No, I did not. I want to keep my clearance. I met a person in a parking lot.
You went on
lot.
eBay or something.
Well,
like
no.
That.
So I went. Craigslist, Let It Go, all the different apps, right? I met a lady up in Fountain, Colorado, bought my first recorder. Good deal on the recorder, sweet. Okay, paid cash, it worked, that was good. Now it's like, well, I need a decent mic. I can't do this without a mic. So I got a hold of a lady in Southside Pueblo. I met her like at...
Walmart parking lot.
6 p.m. Walmart parking lot, Southside.
In the dark.
In the dark. And she pulled up in a white Mercedes. And I'm like, oh, that's not too bad. At least I'm not too worried. But she brings it in a Walmart bag, two microphones, a My Little Pony microphone from an old karaoke machine. And she also brought in a Shure microphone from like the 1970s. So if you go to our website and on our podcast page, the rest of the story is there where...
You can see it hanging.
We record. So I didn't have a microphone stand. I didn't think about that. I was like, I need a cable. I need this.
Yeah.
I didn't think of a microphone stand. So literally minutes before recording, I figured out, well, crap, I need to go figure this thing out. So I went and got my old tripod from an old digital SLR, and I hung the microphone using rubber bands. So I took a picture of it. That was our very first recording. Since then,
in the podcast, is there the picture of his setup is there on our website.
And then I have a picture of our new stuff after we've gotten a few sponsors and new equipment.
How it started and how it's going.
Exactly. So I guess what I like about that story is we, even though we're a nonprofit, we too are a small business. So we know exactly what you're dealing with. We've had to do everything ourselves. It's been us.
Marketing.
We have a small board. Right. But from the beginning, it's really been us. Marketing, learning how to do all this.
Planning the events.
Learning how to
people.
Do YouTube videos, how to do podcasting. Yeah. How do you get your name out?
So our advancement this year was to move not just from podcast, but to video podcast as well. Right. So we have a YouTube channel now where we do this.
Find it on YouTube?
Just search up The Smalls on
The
YouTube.
Smalls on YouTube.
You might get some.
Well, I think we're number three on the list. We've got producer
SEO.
Jen.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah. That's an important thing.
It is.
So, how many episodes have you done with your podcast? And can you give us an example of some of the people you spoke to? You mentioned the first one was Space Force, and you obviously with My Little Pony microphone.
Well, how many years now, right? This is
our third season.
Wow. Nice.
Third year, really.
Third year. Yeah.
Third year. First year, I think we produced, I want to say, 84 episodes.
That's
last year.
We usually do it once a week,
right?
But sometimes more. But typically once a week, and so we put our newsletter out once a week, podcast once a week.
We probably have a couple hundred episodes now.
Yeah,
another lessons learned that we've learned. You got asked earlier, kind of lessons learned. One of the lessons learned we're very quickly realizing we can't do it ourselves anymore.
Mm.
It's been tough.
Even though
you know it's a nonprofit, we set that up, but we haven't pushed on the.
The whole social media, website, content development.
We're starting to do that, but we haven't pushed on the funding side ourselves. Mm. We need to
right.
learn that now, right?
Yeah.
We need more support because we can't do it ourselves.
Right, and it's growing.
And as another example, you know, Pentagon contacted us about 2 months ago, said, hey, we heard about you guys' podcast. We want to go to the podcast.
Very cool.
We're now in 45, 46 different states and like 19 countries.
That listen
weekly to us.
Wow.
I don't know why, but hey, thank you. That's awesome.
Thank you, India. Just kidding.
China, Russia, whatever. just kidding. But we welcome the hits too, right? Just smash that like button.
Yeah.
We're always trying to learn something new. Always trying to just move it forward, move the ball forward.
Yep.
So who have you talked to recently? As an example.
We talked to a realtor last week.
Okay.
We've never had a realtor on, and she offered our listeners from The Smalls, if you listen to the podcast and or go to our website because we post her information there, she offers a discount. Her lender is going to offer a discount to The Smalls. Again, how can they help the government contracting ecosystem?
Right.
She's going to offer relocation packets for companies
that are moving here
to Colorado.
Right. Whatever.
So
they need facilities.
That's
and
correct.
You need everything.
That.
That's correct.
Wow. Yeah.
So, plus housing for your employees.
Yep. We've had many companies on. We talked to a lot of small government contractor companies.
My favorite one.
Go ahead.
One of my favorite ones. Mm-hmm. I call up Dennis. I'm like, hey, you know what? So we go back and forth. We put stuff on each other's calendars all the time. And I'm like, hey, I got us a podcast. And he's like, oh, cool. Who is it? And I told him, well, it's a water bottle company.
Oh.
And he laughs at me.
I said, like, water bottle?
Huh.
Yeah.
How is that? Like a plastic reusable water bottle?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. We're going to put a big plug for you guys in right now.
Yes. They're called Model Outdoors, M-O-D-L,
okay.
Outdoors.
It is water's first multi-tool.
Well, yes, that's their tagline, water's first multi-tool. Very cool. I got in touch with them at one of our smallest networking events down in Pueblo. A buddy of mine had brought them in because he runs the Southern Colorado Innovation Link, and they wanted to figure out how to get their product. So they had
to the DOD.
Exactly. So they started with Kickstarter. So when I told him we got a company that sells water bottles, he's like, "Why? What does that have to do with small business in DOD?" I'm like, "They want to sell to the military." And Dennis like literally. I think he just realized he just said a stupid question because he's like,
of
course.
It doesn't seem to be related.
Right.
But
literally,
need
it's the entire ecosystem.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
This water bottle, anyway, is very cool. They are completely modular. Like, you can put a filter in it. You can put it in your backpack.
Screws both in. You hook them together. It's got straws.
You can use it as a lantern.
You can use it as a shower.
That sounds amazing.
ModelOutdoors.com.
M-O-D-L.
Very cool, yeah.
Well, the cool part was is that I also am big into scouting. So
sure,
literally,
I had some
it was
myself,
fortuitive. Yeah. As soon as we got done with the podcast, I had been talking with some of the leadership in Colorado for the scouting organization, and they're like, you know what, we just lost Yeti off of our list of products. We'd like to maybe buy some of their products. So they've been buying products and putting them on the scout shop walls now.
Right. Yeah.
So it's little things like that.
Yeah.
Right. Did we get anything out of it? No. We made some great friends.
Right.
What's the person?
Justin is
that's right.
Awesome. Call him up.
Right. What's the company up in Denver? The software guys too. The guy from Philly. I can't remember his name. Stratagem?
Oh, yeah, Stratagem.
That's another good one that
they flew people in from Philadelphia to record our podcast.
Which was crazy.
It was great. I accidentally made a mistake on his name. Yeah. And literally to this day, that was almost a year. That was probably a year ago. We had that on the podcast.
At least, if not 2 years ago.
And he's like, Nate, people are still calling me by that name that you called me. Like, and I think they're doing it on purpose now.
Right.
Because people are hearing it. So
yeah. So, yeah, we've had basically the gamut of companies, not a lot of big ones, mostly small government contractors, again, service providers. They always want to come on because they always want to say, hey, we can offer this to your listeners. Mm-hmm. That's been a big thing. We've had a couple manufacturers on. That's kind of really it. And professional organizations, we've had FCA, we've had NDIA, we've had Colorado Space Business Roundtable.
We've had banks, we've had...
Yep. The whole gamut.
Insurance companies, right. We've had. Yeah, pretty much anything part of the ecosystem.
Right,
yep.
You are our first reporter, though.
I'm excited to be your first reporter.
Yes.
Yeah. it's as a reporter, you kind of traffic in information. And
right.
Seeing this whole technology revolution in the U.S.
Yep.
Is very cool. And seeing you guys kind of boosting up that ecosystem from the ground up for small businesses is very impressive.
Well, thank you. It is a heavy lift.
Yeah.
I won't lie.
Yeah.
Right?
Well,
and it's been fun, but it's very fun. And we learn every day. And, you know, for me as a business development guy, it helps me to connect with people too. But I see it kind of the larger picture, kind of altruistic, I guess. But, you know, that we're about economic development because we want to help companies grow. Companies growing helps the community. The community helps us back, right? I mean, it provides jobs and opportunities for us too. So in the end, it kind of swings back to us.
Right. But it really does.
It helps the community. And we're also, I guess, one other group that we didn't talk about is government. You know, we work quite a bit with the Colorado Springs Chamber of Commerce, the Military Affairs Committee. As Nate mentioned, OEDIT, we've done some things with them as well and helped them advertise things. So the city governments, county, state, and then, as we mentioned, the federal government, so the small business offices, the PTAX, those kind of things. So that's another piece to this puzzle, actually, we didn't talk about.
And are your Colorado, either on the state level, state senators, or your U.S. Colorado senators aware or representatives
Matter
aware
of fact,
of you guys?
They should be. Senator Lamborn, the state lender, he's actually supposed to be coming over, not for the smalls directly, but through the smalls, actually.
That's how
we met him.
I can't tell you how many people we've met just because of it. Like I said, the Pentagon called us. They want to get on the podcast. We're trying to get that organized out.
Well, and we also participate in the, what do they call it, Aerospace Day at the Capitol.
Yep, that's coming up
every
year.
Yeah.
So 2 weeks from now.
Yep, so that's up at the state Capitol with all the state leadership. Right. So yeah, the answer to your question is yes.
Yes, very cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, it makes me proud to hear of the work you guys are doing, especially to, you know, grow America. You know, I think that's...
Yep. And it's all support of FCA, no, just kidding.
Right. That's why we're here.
But why are we here, right?
Yeah.
We are supporters, so.
Yep.
Can I ask you guys about your company? A little bit more about your day job? Obviously, you're in quantum computing, which is a very emerging...
It's not quantum computing, actually.
Oh,
actually, we don't do anything with quantum computing. We've got to work on that.
My mistake.
So we're Department of Defense. We do a lot of prototyping, so probably like 60-65% prototyping for
R&D.
Space related capabilities. And in that portfolio is high altitude capabilities, LEO, small sats, ground stations, the devices that soldiers or people use on the outside. Our primary customer for the last 30 plus years has been the Army. We do a lot of software development, software assessments for all the Army helicopters down in Alabama. We do quite a bit of cyber work, data center work, high performance computing work. Software development.
Right. And what are your backgrounds? Like what did you get your degrees in and kind of where did you start?
Oh, you don't want to go
your
there.
Professional work? Well, my
original. Do we have enough battery life? Dennis is like,
there I was.
Well, in third grade, let me tell you. No.
I did 24 years in the Army.
Okay.
And then I got out and then I decided I kind of didn't, I wasn't having a lot of luck finding opportunities totally outside the military, which is a problem, I think, that we still need to address in the United States.
Meaning?
Finding opportunities for soldiers or
airmen. That aren't
airmen.
Related to DOD outside.
Yeah, when you go just commercial, like I want to go work for Target or whatever it is.
Oh, interesting, yeah.
There are some programs out there, but I still think there's it's a struggle for a lot of people getting out. And we like Nate said, we support hiring our heroes in the career skills program for guys getting out. But I see a lot of that over and over again, that there's a bit of a challenge there for getting out, especially if you do your 20, 30 years where you go. And I thought government contracting kind of was a foot in both worlds, where I'm commercial, but I'm still tied to the DOD or the military. So my comfort zone, if you will, and then expanding a little bit. So that's how I kind of ended up being a government contractor. And then, you know, as I've been going along here the road, I started seeing, like we said, the need of kind of connecting the different things out there. Because I've been involved with different professional organizations since I got out. You know, PMP, FCA, ISSA, Association for Proposal Management Professionals, Association for Strategic Planning, all these different organizations, and they weren't all necessarily synced up. And and then, like I said, a friend of mine said, hey, you know, we should get a meeting together where we have the small business development guys all get together, and let's talk about opportunities. And that's how the smalls kind of blew up.
Seed.
So,
So you didn't talk about your degrees, though.
My degrees aren't really important.
He has degrees. Makes it sound like he doesn't.
I have a degree in life.
Philosophy major?
No. I do have a poli-sci undergrad.
Okay.
So, yeah.
What was your, you got to tell us now. What did you say to us? I'm economic theory.
Because I was in the Army for a long time. So after I went in, I did get the opportunity to go to Command General Staff College. So I had an opportunity to go to the School of Advanced Military Studies. So I have a master's degree in operational planning from the Army. Cool. And then I went to grad school as a foreign area officer. So I got a degree in international relations with a minor in diplomacy. And then I went and got my MBA in...
He's so humble.
I got an MBA.
10 degrees later.
I got an MBA in strategic planning because I really like that whole aspect of planning. Yeah. And then I also got a PMP proposal. No, not proposal. Oh, my
proposal
gosh.
Management.
Project management graduate certification from UC Irvine a couple of years ago as well. So I did project management. I was going to get my PMP, PMI, PMP, but I didn't do it. But I went through the whole 18-month certification.
Oh, wow.
That makes two of us.
So, but anyways, so I got that too. And a few other things. I still have my doctorate yet.
Right.
I should have just done
that's
next.
I don't think I'm going to do that. That's too much paperwork. Right. I don't want to do that anymore.
No.
School of Hard Knocks.
Me. I was born and raised on a farm. So did
very
construction,
cool.
did farming.
Right, what area?
North Dakota.
Okay, yeah.
So I'm a West Coast guy.
Okay.
So he tells me Southern Canada, but that's fine. Yeah. I like my Canadian relatives.
And now he lives in Northern Mexico, so.
Yeah, it's just.
Pueblo, Colorado.
So I actually came to Colorado to get my undergrad in electrical engineering.
Oh, very cool.
So I've got a bachelor's in electrical engineering. It was right when the .com thing kind of was out, and it was like dying.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, great, trying to find a job. I had sent out like 400 resumes from like November till May till I got my first job. And I started working at Honeywell. I am not former military. I've just decided instead of serving, how I wanted to serve and help out was design and build weapon systems for the military. So for 15 years, I worked at Honeywell, and I used to design and build entire ground-based satellite tracking stations on the Air Force Satellite Communications Network. So all the ground-based stuff. So tracking satellites. And then after that, I moved to a new company called Oasis Systems and decided to work in some of the ground-based phased array radar systems. So we would work on space domain awareness or space situational awareness at the time. So tracking space debris around the Earth. I moved up and I ran all of the missile warning, missile defense radar systems from the PEO side. So on the government side, the ANAS stuff. So advisory and assistance services. So we had all the engineers and all the project managers that would support all those programs to make sure that we kept the warfighter going. And then Dennis won a big contract and said, hey, we need somebody to run the program with the Space Force at our company. So I moved over to him. So while I was doing all this, I had went back to school, got a master's degree in systems engineering. Okay. And then got bored, went back, got a second master's degree in...
You're just as humble as he is.
Program management, emphasis in IT systems. And then got bored and went back and got my... I got my certified system engineering professional through International Council of System Engineering, so INCOSI. Okay. So I have not went back and got my PhD yet, but someday, as soon as a company pays for it, you know, that's kind of
they
the,
offer. They offer.
No, they offer
reimbursement.
Like, you know, a couple grand a year.
Right,
you know, 10 years ago, the PhD, I looked it up, it was like $89,000 for 3 years. And I was like, they're like, oh, but that includes your books. I'm like, it better include a car for me to get to and from class. What are you talking about?
Right, yeah.
I'm like, yeah. So, yeah, so that's a little bit about my background.
Yeah. Well, I could talk to you guys all day, but maybe one other question, and then if there's anything you wanted to add. Do you have any advice for young kids who could be your future small business innovators?
Yeah, I talked to the, so I was doing security here, and I had about 10 of them yesterday, younger. Most of them were airmen, but I was talking to them about, you know, if you know, for instance, you're, if you don't know what you want to do, you know, just kind of move in a direction.
Right.
And you're not, you never know where you're going to end up at, right? If you had told me when I was 18 years old that I'm going to be sitting here doing this today, and where I am and what I'm doing, no idea. So life is a journey, right? You're going to go all over the place.
But well, come to networking events.
But well, that's my next thing is get plugged into some professional organizations. If you're like these guys, I said, if you're getting out in the next year or so, start getting plugged into FCIA, ISSA,
small.
It's more important. Don't just join now. You have to actually go to their events.
Right. Yeah. Put in effort.
Because that's where I've made a mistake. I was part of IEEE for years. Mm-hmm. But I never really attended to their events. Right. I was like, oh, well, I'm joined so I can get the magazine.
Well, then, you know, PMI's out there. They have events. All the professional organizations have events. We also have in Colorado Springs First Fridays, Cyber First Fridays. So the first Friday of every month, they have basically a happy hour. And they want younger kids to come and companies to come to engage with those younger folks and see what they're doing and where they're going.
Cyber certification. You get one cyber certification. There's been stories here in town of high school kids graduating high school with their certification in cyber and starting starting out with a salary of $75,000 without a degree. That's insane.
Right. Just
a college
degree.
Just out of high school.
Yeah. So that's how important cyber is.
It's out there.
Yeah.
Cyber software development, not even necessarily engineering, but software development, coding. Yeah. Those are two big up and coming career fields that are really booming right now.
And then I would add to it, please don't smoke pot. You can't, you will not, you will never be able to work in this industry if you partake.
Yeah, well, that's a good point, especially coming from Colorado that's
very legal.
It's legal.
Well, it's going, you know, it's legal in many, many places right now. But I don't think that word gets out, right?
Yeah, and the government needs to trust you. And
matter of fact, I've been in some events with the University of Colorado and they're working with their students and they really push, you know, because the DOD, industrial base is pretty large here in Colorado. I mentioned all the companies that are up in the Boulder, Denver area. And they have to tell their students, look, we know it's legal. You're in college now.
Right. It's legal in Colorado, but it's legal. Not federally legal.
Yeah, but if you want a job in the DOD, that is a big deal.
Big deal. I've got people that I know that have phenomenal engineers, but ended up partaking and people found out they lost their job or they lost their clearance, which then made them lose their job and not only their job, their career, because they'll never get another job in the DOD.
Yep.
Right. And I think there's something to say for the people who are protecting our country, who are in the military.
Yep.
And so it's worth to just not partake. And,
it's actually even more than that, right? You can't even have like CBD oil.
Yeah.
You can't invest.
Marijuana companies.
So those are things that people they don't tell you. The problem is the real problem is they don't tell you that, right?
Yeah.
I think it's maybe just assume that you know that, but people don't tell you.
Yeah,
hey, you better talk to your financial advisor, make sure you're not investing in anything to do with this.
Yeah.
My husband works for the government and he wouldn't even let me buy the CBD oil for the dog.
My wife has migraines.
Pain issues.
And the doctor recommended, well, you should try CBD oil. And I said, you can't. So now we've got all this other aromatherapy stuff.
Well, I run quite a bit. I do trail running, ultra runs. And they are always giving us stuff. Oh, rub this on your knees, you know? And I'm like, that would feel so good.
Label.
I actually grabbed one time. I grabbed a pack. I was running. And I was like, oh, I'm going to put some of that on my knees. And I looked at him like, oh, CBD. Oh, I'm not going to do it.
Here, try this gummy. It'll help make you feel better.
Right.
Yeah.
So, or at least you won't remember
it. So it is a big deal. It really is. It's an issue right now that you need to think about.
I'm glad you guys brought that up.
For a young person.
Yeah,
and absolutely. It sounds weird because like, well, you're just being old crotchety old man.
No,
but I'm like, it's a real thing. If you ever, so I help out in STEM a lot. My wife's a teacher. So I go to the schools, the middle schools, the elementary schools, the high schools, and try to talk with them and explain, look, I know you guys think it's cool and all this kind of stuff, but think of what you want to do eventually and make sure that you stop doing whatever you're doing before you go in.
Right.
Yeah. Especially and get engaged with young FCA and things like that, right? There's I would say most of the big professional organizations out there all have these young
and
whatever.
Do it, especially right now. Yeah. Are you serious? If you guys are high school seniors right now or any time in college, seriously, you could be making six figures and not even have a degree right now. There's so many jobs out there. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You just have to want it.
Yeah.
And be willing to pick up the phone and go talk to people.
Right.
And have that conversation.
Yeah. Well, we have a coworker. She was actually putting herself through college, working at Chick-fil-A. She was a shift supervisor at Chick-fil-A. She was getting her degree in software development, software engineering. And we hired her, one of the best employees we've ever had. But again, she was very...
That's why she got the job.
Right. Yeah.
Because
she wasn't super skilled. She didn't have all the experience, but she was a go-getter.
Yeah,
and that's
hustle,
what
she had the mentality of, I'll do what it takes.
Yep.
Yeah.
And that's what speaks to me anyway. Right.
I worked for Northrop Grumman for a few years, and one of the ladies we were interviewing, we called her up and said, hey, we're ready to do this interview. And she goes, oh, it's today? And I was like, yeah. And she said, oh, well, I didn't realize it was today. I'm sorry. And I said, well, it was on our, she said, I don't have it on my calendar. I said, well, we got an invite. She goes, I didn't see it. And I said, well, we can reschedule if you want. She goes, you know what? I'm here. You're here. Let's do this. And I leaned over to the hiring manager. I'm like, we're hiring her. Right? And she was one of the best hirers, too, that we've ever had. Right?
Yeah.
She was willing to just go. Let's go do this.
Yeah.
At least for me, that's kind of the,
same
it's
here.
Not always about your experience or your not head knowledge. Mm-hmm. It's your attitude and your willingness to kind of go for it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
Any advice for the kids who aren't in science or maybe they're, in arts?
Well, I mentioned to you APMP, right? Association for Proposal Management Professionals. I'm on the board here for the Rocky Mountain. Was it APMP Rocky Mountain? We changed our name. So, but anyways, we are looking for and trying to develop a career path for proposal management professionals, right? So if you're an editor, you're a marketing person, you're into graphics, there are so many opportunities out there. It's not necessarily really easy to get into. A lot of times we say we fall into those career fields, but there is a lot of opportunities for the non-engineers, software
and
developers.
And then the other recommendation was get yourself a good engineering friend. That can help you out when you're like, hey, I want to go after this. Do you think we can do this? Yes, I can. Let's go ahead and write this thing together
now.
But there is, across the DoD, if you're, so the National Contract Management Association, NCMA, they have a lot of things too. We're out there where if you want to get into contracts management, right, there's that. So there's government contracting is huge. And it's from the technical guys that actually work on developing parts and systems to the administrative side of the house too, and they need everything in between. There's public affairs, there's promotion, there's marketing, there's writing, there's tech writing, there's all the stuff.
Right.
Signals Magazine. There's there's journalists, right? So there's again
there's
the ecosystem's huge,
yeah.
Right?
Okay.
Right.
Huh? Well, anything else you guys wanted to add?
No, we talked a lot. Whew, you talked a lot.
Yes, it's me. It's always me, guys. And you talk a lot with your hands.
I do.
I do that too,
must be Italian. I'm fidgeting with this little piece of wire.
Oh, great. Now we're going to get Italian hate mail. Stop.
Italian,
about you tell us a little bit about what you do and who you do it for?
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
Okay. So I work as a reporter for Signal Magazine, which is AFSCME's official monthly magazine. We have a website and a print, magazine that our members get every month. And
online and print.
Online and
what's
print.
What's the website?
It's afsia.org.
Okay.
And then it's on the main page, you'll see Signal Magazine.
Okay.
It's a very cool job. I was one of those people who always liked to know things. I was the kid at Christmas who searched the house for Christmas gifts. Like, I want to know things. So being a reporter is kind of figuring that out. You traffic in information. Early on in my career, I got a degree in economics, and I was working for the American Gas Association that does natural gas, residential, and commercial association work for all the utilities in the U.S. And I was in their planning and analysis division where they did big reports on, you know, gas use, natural gas usage. It was a lot of spreadsheets, but it was also a lot of words. So I kind of had to pick which road to go on. Do I want to be doing modeling and numbers, and or which do I like better? And I kind of like the words a little bit better, even though I did like statistics. But
I'm sorry.
And yeah, as an engineer,
that wasn't my favorite either.
Trying to think what else. But you have to be a reporter or to be in writing, you have to like words and think about how words come together.
Right. And pictures.
And pictures, yeah.
So I'm curious. So obviously you're not like, I guess I wouldn't call you mainstream. You're not an NBC reporter, ABC, or whatever. What about the truth? That's been huge in the media for the past couple of years, right? I mean,
and the whole field of journalism has certainly taken a hit about that.
Well, it seems like it's at least on the mainstream stuff. It seems it's went away from journalism and went more towards what is it called? Op-eds, right? Here's my opinion.
Right. Yeah. Right. Or kind of entertainment news.
But you do more, you guys kind of do more, because I've been with FC for decades now, or years, maybe decades even now. You know, you guys focus more on kind of factual, technological
kind of
areas.
It's nice to be able to root yourself in that.
Right.
You know, we get to talk about what kind of systems or technologies or capabilities, or with military leaders kind of, you know, their vision or where they're going or the policies.
Yeah.
Not so political, kind of. It's more apolitical.
Right. We're an independent, you know.
Right. Yeah.
We take no side.
That's good. That's what every reporter should be.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, but I'm sure that's hard too, right? Because everybody has their own opinions.
Right.
So it's tough to keep that out, but I guess you guys are taught that, right?
Well, she hit her last article was Cyber Stinks, but no, just kidding.
China does it much better.
Cyber, is it real?
Right. I mean, the easiest thing, I guess, that I've seen is to be that I'm pro-American. You know, we have a lot of discord in the U.S., and it's, I think, a hard time that we're all going through. But even so, I'm still proud that, you know, we're American.
It's it's the best country in the world.
I think it should be, right? I mean, I think... if you are an American citizen, I mean, especially in this field, right? If you are not, then we have to start questioning, well, what's going on?
Why are you trying to work for,
Or why are you sympathetic towards everything else? I'm not saying that you can't be. I mean, we're all human, right?
Yeah.
But.
And I live in the Washington, D.C. area, and so being a reporter in that area is pretty cool. There's a lot of a lot of stuff happening. But a lot of events where, like, I feel like I'm always learning as a reporter, and I learn from my fellow other reporters, you know, the military reporters in town. There's a whole cadre of us. Mm-hmm. There's the big dogs, you know, New York Times, CNN, there's TV newspaper, and then there's nonprofit FCS Signal Magazine. But we're there, you know, trying to figure out what are the important technologies.
So how many people are on on the staff there? Is there a lot? Is it big?
We have our communications division is about 14 people. But
it's not huge,
not everybody is a reporter.
Right.
Everybody can kind of report, but we have a lot of, we have an amazing art director.
And you're at the FC International headquarters, right?
Yep, at the headquarters, yep. And so FC only has 51 people, you know, worldwide. So we're...
And we have low expectations. We only expect 2 or 3 million hits on this, whatever you guys are going to produce for us.
I'll try.
And we'll try to get you 42 million on our side.
Speaking of, you guys have a podcast too, correct?
We do not have a podcast.
No.
Ooh. We've been, some of our, like my boss, Bob Ackerman, the editor-in-chief, and my colleague, George Zephyrs, who's the executive editor, we've been interviewed for a podcast, like a reporter's podcast, but we don't host one of our own.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah. Well, if you guys ever want to, call us up. We'll help you out.
Yeah.
Figure that out.
Yeah, we would need your help.
No, actually, it's not as hard as you think, I think.
Right.
I mean, there are things to learn, like you said, but it's a good medium.
There's nothing wrong with learning something new, right?
Yeah.
Once again, jumping on both feet.
And really, for us, I think the bigger picture is not just the podcast. It's the integration of all the pieces. So magazine, or for us, newsletter, YouTube, podcast, website, events, right?
It's all
social media
integrated, and that's kind of where we
are
today.
That alone is its own ecosystem.
Yeah, absolutely. Where do you publish your newsletter? Is it an email or online, or both?
So the email we send online, send out. The website has the podcast. It has our calendar of events that we mentioned earlier, also tied to the PTAC calendar events. We also offer blog posts. So if somebody wants to put a blog post on, they can.
Just call us up.
Yeah.
Write the article and we'll post it for you.
In. Advertisement for events. So we'll on the email list, we'll also send out occasionally. Not too often, because originally we were doing it a lot. People were like, it's too much. And so we kind of backed off to really once a week, our newsletter. And then if there's an event like this one here in town, we'll put out maybe one or two additional blasts of that event coming.
Yeah.
So that's kind of it. And then we're working in other channels.
Yeah.
You know, we're on LinkedIn. We're on all of them, Twitter and Instagram, but we're not so heavy in those spaces.
We want to be, but once again, two people.
It takes time.
Yes,
absolutely.
So we've got someone to start now helping us.
And it would be different if we were full time working the smalls.
Right, you have a whole other career.
Yeah, jobs or,
jobs, kids.
Right, families.
Families.
Yeah, I didn't ask about that.
What are those? So it's pretty all-encompassing, right? And like you said, it can go as far as you want to go. And
so for those of you guys watching this, that's like the fourth time Dennis has waved at people. People are walking behind the camera, so he just waves randomly.
I'm like, he's not waving at the wall.
He's waving
at you, the audience.
That's right.
He's not having any health issues where he's got Tourette's, just waving at the camera.
He's small businesses. He's waving to the small businesses.
Hello, everybody.
Like, yeah. We're actually in the lobby of the Broadmoor Event Hall.
It is awesome. And
right
it's, 16 degrees outside now?
That's correct.
It was -2 when I got here this morning.
Mm-hmm. It was -, I think, 13 yesterday or something like that.
Yeah, it was nice.
Cold. But that's why Colorado's great. We have no bugs. And that is why we have no bugs right there. No bugs in the summer.
And they're sunshine.
That's because it's dry.
It's dry, it's high, and it's cold. For about 2 weeks every year, January, February timeframe, this cold front comes in and it basically kills everything.
Yep.
It's a great
place
to go.
We're almost March, though. It's
and
crazy.
And 300-something days a year of sunshine.
As you
can see right now. It's beautiful outside.
Beautiful.
Yep.
Any small business I come across, I'm going to tell them about the podcast.
Way.
Please.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Definitely. We want to get the name out.
If you would like to be a guest
on the
waving
podcast.
To you. If you would like to be a guest on the podcast, just give us a shout. Right. Again, we're at www.thesmalls.org.
You can
find all our contact information there. You can actually sign up for a podcast there. But give us a shout, and we'll gladly have you on. Again, free advertisement. Get your name out there. And we're trying to do a better job of integrating content too. So pre-podcast, post-podcast, all that kind of piece.
Trying to figure all that out. Once again, just different things, trying out different things.
Yeah.
Yep.
Well, and I recommend
see
it.
See what works.
These guys are amazing to talk to. So.
Thanks. Sorry if we talked a lot.
We like to have fun.
That's right. Well, thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you,
guys.
Appreciate it.
Thanks.
Yeah. Okay. Bye.
Bye.
You've reached the end of another episode of the Smallscast podcast. Connect with us at thesmalls.org. Don't forget to sign up to our newsletter to receive our free materials. See you at the next episode. See you at the next episode.